The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You're looking live right now on the campus of UCLA in California, where pro-Palestinian protests continue. Police have moved in and they are making arrests. Some of this is going on campuses across the nation. And we had a protest last night on the SLU campus. We'll tell you what happened there.
And a new violent crime prevention effort for the Bi-State starts today. Who's behind it and what neighborhoods will be highlighted?
A verdict could be reached today in the trial of the man accused of killing St. Louis police officer Tamaris Bohannon. We're going to recap yesterday's closing arguments. Good morning. It's Thursday, May 2nd. You are watching The Power of Two at 6 a.m. I'm John Pertzborn.
I'm Blair Lede. Thank you so much for waking up with us. We're taking a live look now at our roof camera. Beautiful view of the sky right now. Going to check in with Angela Huddy, our meteorologist, and she's on the Lakeside Renovation and Design weather deck with a look at your forecast.
Boy, you got there fast.
Sorry, go ahead, John. Good morning. Yeah, we've woken up this morning to clearing skies and no thunderstorms. We had those late yesterday afternoon and evening, a few lingering storms overnight, but all dry out the door, and skies are clearing up nicely. So mostly sunny skies, no problems at the morning bus stop. I have a jacket on. You may want one. Maybe tough to get the kiddos to put one on, especially since they won't want to have to carry it home later on this afternoon. That's exactly what they're going to be doing, because our top temperatures today are going to be climbing into the mid to upper 80s. A very warm and at times breezy day ahead. But note the increase in cloud cover by this afternoon. That's because 4 or 5 o'clock, we're going to start watching for some thunderstorms to build in from the west. That's going to impact your evening plans. We'll talk about that rain, show you the timeline with Futurecast coming up in just a little bit.
It's been quiet out on our roadways unless you've been on 70 East in our Wentzville area. Let's get an update on that road work we've been dealing with right by the parkway for a good chunk of the morning. So here's the good news. It's cleared up, but I'm still seeing some of that slowdown in your eastbound direction. Your speed's still around 20 in some spots, but here's a look at my camera from Highway TW. This, just a few minutes ago, was bumper to bumper, so things are improving. Heading eastward towards 94, some more good news for you. Your outer road work, well, it's just wrapped up at the 6 a.m. hour. Checking down south, your commute on 64 through Weldon Spring looks good. Let's get a view right over Daniel Boone. Things will continue to move nicely right on through Chesterfield towards your Maryland Heights Expressway.
Well, a new initiative to combat violent crime in St. Louis area neighborhoods starts later this morning.
At the Power of Two's Chris Renier is live near downtown with Who's Behind It. Chris, good morning to you.
Blair and John, good morning to both of you. Kind of an interesting program here. Lots of players involved. This is called Block Builders, and it's a partnership between the Urban League, the Regional Business Council, and major utilities in our region. This program targets neighborhoods hit hard by crime, including murders, and then tries to improve specific components of those communities to make the area safer. Let's take a look at some video of a murder scene from the Wells Goodfellow neighborhood back in December of last year. Wells Goodfellow is one of those areas where violent crime is a significant issue, and that is the neighborhood where this program is starting later this morning. Crews will focus on the 5700 block of Theodosia as the first location for this new effort. Organizers say those involved will use data to identify neighborhoods in need of help to combat crime. Then volunteer crews from utility companies will use equipment typically utilized for maintaining things like line infrastructure to help improve community infrastructure. Crews will remove brush and debris to improve visibility in neighborhoods. They will also improve lighting and install video doorbell cameras for residents to improve safety. Organizers say while law officers work to hold criminals accountable, block builders will address underlying environmental conditions to improve safety and quality of life for residents. The program will focus on neighborhoods in St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and St. Clair County, and will take place every other month. The agencies involved include Spire, Ameren, Missouri American Water, and the City of St. Louis, Block Builders is an extension of the cleanup build-up program. That's an effort to improve neighborhoods that is now in its eighth year. For now, live near downtown, I'm Chris Fournier.
Thank you so much, Chris. Well, developing right now, hundreds of pro-Palestinian demonstrators defying a police order to shut down their encampment. This is at UCLA here in California. This protest is deemed unlawful. This is a live look from two different views here as police officers in riot gear are moving in. They've been letting off flash bangs and they're trying to clear out this encampment. We also saw someone arrested just moments ago. Demonstrators have been told to disperse or face arrest. They say they're standing their ground, though. Some protesters have camped out wearing hard hats, goggles, a respirator mask, too. And this all comes after violent confrontations with rival protesters yesterday. Meanwhile, here at home, well over 100 pro-Palestinian protesters, they gathered for more than 2 hours on the SLU campus. This was last night. The Power of Two's Max Deeknight explains their demands for change.
From the air and on the ground. We heard from a large, passionate group of student protesters and others Wednesday who say they are fed up with universities like SLU funding Boeing and not calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Nadia Abu Saud, a Palestinian student who helped organize this protest, says she feels the university needs to do more.
We are here because we are calling on SLU to call for a ceasefire. We are calling on SLU to divest from Boeing, and we are calling on them to recognize their Palestinian students and make them feel safe on campus. The university hasn't given us much dialogue besides a neutral stance, so that is why we are here today. We are trying to get them to side with us and call for a ceasefire against innocent people in Gaza and in Palestine.
While the protest did shut down a stretch of North Grand, it appeared to remain peaceful and on message. Speakers criticized media coverage, U.S. funding to Israel, and the university's strong ties to Boeing. While there were Jewish supporters on hand, Missouri U.S. Senator Josh Hawley weighed in from afar, saying calls for violence against Jews must end.
There's no right, no First Amendment right whatsoever to threaten the life or the safety or the property of either the public of these universities or Jewish students. Now, let's speak with some moral clarity. Jewish Americans should be safe on our campuses. This should not be hard.
We also did hear a chant at this rally that some view as a call for violence against Jewish people and the elimination of the State of Israel. It's a chant Nadia says has a completely different meaning to people like her.
From the river to the sea, and for me personally as a Palestinian student, it just means for our collective liberation. And it does not point to anti-Semitism. It does not point to anything else besides the collective liberation of the people in Palestine. And I think that is where people miss the message. We are calling just for our freedom.
Well, Northwestern and Brown universities now facing sharp criticism over deals they cut with pro-Palestinian protesters. Northwestern agreed to several demands, including full scholarships for some Palestinian students and two faculty spots for Palestinian academics. Most of the protester encampments on the campus in the Chicago suburb of Evanston now gone. The Anti-Defamation League Midwest wants Northwestern's president to resign. They say he signed an agreement with those behind the harassment of Jewish students. Seven members of a university advisory committee also stepped down yesterday.
The U.S. House has passed a bill that some lawmakers say will curb anti-Semitism and get protests on college campuses under control. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act adds the definition of anti-Semitism to federal anti-discrimination laws. That definition may include targeting the State of Israel, conceived as a Jewish collectivity. Now, the ACLU is against the bill, saying it could confuse criticism of Israel with being anti-Semitic. Well, the man charged with killing St. Louis officer Tamaris Bohannon and injuring another police officer could receive his verdict as early as today.
Attorneys presented their closing arguments yesterday in Thomas Kenworthy's murder trial. His attorneys say he is mentally ill and didn't know what he was doing when he shot at the officers. Dr. Rachel Springman, though, a forensic psychologist who examined him, told the court she felt like he put on a show for her at their first meeting.
He was pacing around the room, crouching, dramatically looking over his shoulder, immediately making statements that his food was being poisoned, that people were after him, that he was hearing voices, and that was notable to me. I've worked for 12 years at an inpatient psychiatric hospital. I've conducted almost 1,300 forensic evaluations of individuals, many of whom have severe mental illness, and that presentation was atypical for someone with serious mental illness.
Dr. Spreeman also testified Kenworthy was in prison in Missouri when he was in his 20s. Didn't get any mental health treatment or diagnosis then. She also testified he showed no signs of mental health issues when he served time in Florida.